Hello and welcome to the Grand Prix 24/7 podcast, your weekly insight into the world of Formula One. Formula One is finally back and I'm delighted to be here with Ben Stevens to review the first race of the 2020 season. I'm your host, Will Dodds, and Ben, how excited were you to see those cars back out on track this weekend?
Well, I mean, I would have enjoyed it even if it had been a dud. Just having F1 back in my life was great, but we got much more than that, didn't we? I mean, that was about as good as you could have hoped for first race back.
I think kind of the level of excitement and adrenaline around that first lap, and I personally was pretty shocked that we managed to kind of get through that first corner unscathed. But it was a fantastic event, and just really thrilled to have the sport back. So I guess the best way to kind of get into this is firstly kind of a brief look back on qualifying and practice. I guess the major headline for me is, other than Mercedes being dominant, but I don't think that's something necessarily that we should be surprised about, was Ferrari. Ben, were you surprised to see Ferrari struggling so much?
Well, I think Ferrari was surprised to see Ferrari struggling so much, weren't they? We knew that the car wasn't going to be on the same level as Mercedes. That was no secret coming in, but it was significantly worse than that, and I think we saw that especially in qualifying, that figures going around on social media where they're basically a second slower than the last year. I mean, it doesn't get much more damning than that in terms of, you know, telling you what your performance is and how bad it is.
Yeah, so I suppose another team that potentially would be quite disappointed is Red Bull. I think they talked up their chances during pre-season testing, and you know, they looked to be kind of on a similar level to McLaren and Racing Point.
Yeah, it was a strange one with Red Bull because they've obviously been very strong here the last few years, and you know, it seemed like the stage was set. They seemed pretty doing pretty well in testing, so it was very surprising to see them be so far off the pace. But maybe that, to be honest, that might say more about Mercedes than it does about Red Bull. And you've also got to factor in the idea that, you know, Red Bull maybe Hungary, maybe Silverstone is more their track. We won't know that till we get there, obviously. But yeah, they definitely weren't on the pace of Mercedes, were they?
No, and I think the way that this, I guess, worked out in the end was that we get to qualifying and Mercedes are up a front with Bottas and Hamilton on their first runs having the 1-2. But I think that the big level of controversy in qualifying comes when Valtteri Bottas goes off the track around turn, I think it's 4, into the gravel and then onto the grass. And this jeopardised the second runs due to yellow flags being shown of, I think, Sainz and Ricciardo. And in the end, his teammate Lewis Hamilton. So obviously, at first, Hamilton got away with it. They said that he kind of maybe didn't see the yellows, and then Red Bull put in a complaint on the morning of the race, and Hamilton is demoted from second on the grid to fifth, which promotes Max Verstappen to the front row and Lando Norris to third. And apparently this comes after some new evidence surfaced with regards, I think, to Hamilton's onboard that was actually posted on the F1 Twitter account. What did you make of this entire kind of incident? It was a bit strange, and I think that there was more than a little bit of gamesmanship going on from Red Bull in protesting it on the morning of the race.
Oh yeah, absolutely. To me, that's the funny thing about this whole ordeal, was because they have the protest with Das, obviously, on Friday, and Toto Wolff comes out and he says, you know, it's very nice of them, very gentlemanly, to have done that so early in the race weekend. You think, oh, well, they're being buddies, they're, you know, obviously competitors, but they're also trying to be, you know, fair with each other. And then at the same time, come Sunday morning, they're trying to get it in just under the wire, and they managed to, and Lewis is obviously pinged for it. And as to whether you should have been pinged, I think it's tricky. It's always tricky in these sort of situations, because there's a lot of dust going around, and when you sort of see a car go off straight in front of you, and your vision's impacted. Not the first thing you're not necessarily looking for is yellow flags, and that can sort of lead to all sorts of awkward situations. I honestly don't think I would have penalized him, but if the footage is there, the footage is there, and you know they're always going to call that by the letter of the law, aren't they?
Yeah, I think it's a difficult decision. And I know that one of the things that Red Bull used in their argument was the fact that Max Verstappen was penalized for a very similar incident in Mexico last season, and I do think these incidents are slightly different. Obviously, Max, you know, acknowledged in his press conference that he definitely saw the yellows and he kept his foot in. Whereas I think it's slightly different to Lewis, because, you know, there's a lot of dust going up and maybe that should have led him to believe anything. But if he's not seen the yellows, because he is, you know, he's the next car behind Bottas, if he's just seeing dust, I don't think that that's necessarily any reason to lift. Obviously, yeah, if he saw the yellows and he didn't lift, then that's you know, that's not something that he should be doing, and he should have been given a penalty. But yeah, it's a difficult one, and I guess it all comes down to whether he genuinely did see the yellows or not. So moving on to the race, obviously we've got Hamilton starting fifth, and actually everyone gets off to a pretty clean start. I think Vettel starting in 11th jumps Ricciardo, but Hamilton, you know, he has to wait and to get past Alex Albon, who does a bit of strong defending on the first corner, and we see kind of Bottas extend this lead. But I guess the story of the race, really, in the first half at least, is just a kind of, you know, constant flurry of retirement. So we see Max Verstappen, Daniel Ricciardo, all coming to the end of their race just from various issues. So were you surprised to see that the cars were just really struggling? I guess we've had a long break, but was this even more than perhaps you expected?
Yeah, it's interesting because you look at where the track is. It's a nice big grassy open field straight out of the Sound of Music. You don't think it's the sort of place that's going to, you know, collect a lot of cars. You look at Monaco, it makes sense, right? It's confined spaces. There's going to be cars retiring for various reasons. But yeah, it's absolutely brutal at the Red Bull wing. And those curbs, man, they just throw cars for a loop every time. There's, you know, all sorts of problems going on for the cars. So, I mean, I guess it's surprising, but we did sort of see it throughout the weekend, even going back to Friday, that, you know, things were coming off cars, just going over the curbs. It'll be very interesting to see how that plays out this upcoming weekend. I'm sure we'll talk about that a bit later, because obviously the cars are going to be the same. So, yeah, it's a bit of a strange one.
Yeah, I think that I don't think that Verstappen looked to have the pace. Bottas had already pulled out kind of a decent lead over him when he did retire. But it's always a shame to lose a driver like Verstappen. I think he would have looked at this as a potential missed opportunity, especially the way that it played out with the safety cars. I guess a big thing in this race for me is, like, you know, Valtteri Bottas is coming out with a fair amount of credit for the way that, you know, he got on pole and then he kind of controlled the race from the front. But I think a key trend that can't really be ignored in the kind of full analysis of this is that we saw more of the same when it came to race pace, and that was that Hamilton has the edge. You know, Lewis, after passing Albon and Lando Norris to get up into third, and then with Max Verstappen retiring, he's kind of back into second, and it's about an 8-second gap between them, kind of midway through the first stint. But Lewis is honestly closing it at a modest rate to begin with, and then as, I'm not sure whether this is Bottas backing off, but I can't see where he'd back off to this extent, or Hamilton just managing his tyres better, or just having better pace. It's probably, you know, a mixture. I don't know which one is probably the most important here, but, you know, he closes Bottas down at a rate of knots, and in a way, it sounds strange to think that the guy who's catching up the other, you know, the guy who's behind wouldn't want a safety car. But I think Lewis mentioned it after the race, that actually the safety car kind of nullified his strategy option. How did you kind of assess that battle between them in those kind of early laps in the first stint?
Well, I have to say, I think I'll judge by what you're saying, I was more impressed with Valtteri than you were. Not that you weren't impressed with him, of course. Yeah, Lewis has definitely was closing, and there's no denying that. I think what I would say in response is that once he did close, and he closed on several occasions both before and after the safety car, is that Valtteri did a very good job of absorbing that pressure. I mean, there was a few sort of stanzas there, a few 5-6 lap stints where Lewis was within a second and he wasn't making any sort of ground once he got within that second. Valtteri seemed to be holding him off comfortably. So that's the thing as well, right? It's one thing to get close to the car. It's another thing to get past the car, especially when that car's the same as yours. So I think you've really got to tip your hat to Valtteri there, and sort of not losing his nerve and not giving Lewis any sort of obvious openings to, you know, make an attempt. There wasn't really any. But yeah, it's gonna be I think that's gonna be a very interesting battle. It'll be interesting to see how Lewis if he's able to flip the script going into the second race at the Red Bull Ring. I mean, either way, it's definitely very close, isn't
it? Yeah, I think you're right, and it'd be wrong of me to dismiss Bottas's performance, because I think it definitely was strong. And you make a really good point about, you know, it's one thing getting close and one thing making a pass. And when Hamilton came within a second of him, Bottas was very consistent, and that's something that generally he is quite good at. He doesn't really make a huge amount of errors. I think that potentially the thing that people might criticise him for is, one, just quite lacking that tyre management, but also that, you know, ability to make a move happen, or kind of when he is stuck behind someone, really force the issue. I think we saw that at Germany last year when he's trying to get past Lance Stroll and puts it in the wall. I don't want to be too negative on Valtteri, because this is obviously a great performance and he won the race, but the sense that I got is that maybe Lewis wouldn't have been able to get past him on track, but I think that a strategy option was taken away from him by the safety car. And I think had that safety car from Magnussen having a brake failure hadn't come, I think maybe we could have seen a different story. But moving on, we obviously get the safety car with Magnussen, and then there's some interesting strategy choices by the various teams. And we see Lando Norris, Alex Albon and the two Mercedes at the front going onto the hards. But Sergio Perez, the tyre whisperer extraordinaire, decides to go onto the mediums. And that obviously kind of plays into the strategy and the kind of how the race ended up towards the end. What did you make of that decision from Perez? Do you think that maybe Racing Point got it wrong there?
Yeah, I do think Racing Point got it wrong there. I think that's one of those situations where you've got to trust that your car, especially when McLaren's doing the same thing, you know, going on the hards as the other cars around them, you've got to trust that your car's able to do that too. You don't necessarily need to be getting too ambitious in those sort of situations going on the medium. And I think, you know, Sergio didn't seem too happy afterwards, and I can't blame him.
I think that the thing that almost kind of doubled down the mistake was that then we get the safety car for... I think it was George Russell. I mean, there were so many incidents in this race, it's really difficult to judge who did what. But yeah, George Russell, I think he loses power, and then Albon, Norris, and I think Carlos Sainz would make the decision to go onto the soft tyre, I think Norris maybe went on to medium, but I can't remember exactly. But they went onto a softer tyre and a newer tyre, whereas Perez again decided to stick it out on the mediums. And I think that was really what lost the race for him. So I guess the two, you know, we kind of talked about Hamilton and Bottas, and maybe we can touch quickly on the issue with the vibrations that were going off the curbs and whether Mercedes actually did decide to kind of cool off the battle. But how impressed were you with the performances of Lando Norris and Charles Leclerc kind of coming through to take that podium?
Yeah, absolutely amazing, to be honest. You see those guys. We knew Leclerc was a gun. We were hoped Lando was a gun. And especially yesterday, Lando, I think, really proved it. I mean, that final lap to get within the 5-second margin to Lewis was just out of this world. That's exactly what you want from a future star in this sport, isn't it? And, you know, if they can do that consistently, then that puts, you know, the sport in a very good place going forward, and you just hope they're going to have the cars that are worthy of their talents.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that obviously there was an aspect of luck in both of them getting there. But yeah, as you said, like when it mattered, Lando Norris produced the fastest lap of the race in a McLaren, which, you know, is nominally a midfield car. So yeah, it's just hugely impressive. I guess we can't talk about Charles Leclerc without mentioning his teammate Sebastian Vettel, and the absolute indignity of colliding and going into a spin with the driver who is going to replace him at Ferrari. What did you make of Sebastian Vettel's trials and tribulations at the Red Bull Ring?
It's just so disappointing, isn't it? Especially for someone like me who's defended Seb, and then he goes out and does that, which is just a complete amateur move. I mean, that's the sort of thing that I would do playing F1 2019. So to see a four-time world champion do that, especially when he's got this massive point to prove, whether he's still that he is the same driver that won those four championships, you just can't be doing stuff like that. And then to have it compounded by the contrast with Leclerc, who was so good in getting to that second place, it makes it seem like Ferrari have made the right choice. And I know we're only one race into the season. He's got plenty of time to redeem himself. But all we can go off is by what he's done. And that seems like more of the same from the, you know, the previous season than it does the Vettel of a few years back.
Yeah, it was disappointing. And to be honest, he just had... Yeah, I think we've all seen the onboards, and that car does not look enjoyable to drive. And I've heard some people say perhaps that Vettel was making mistakes in his kind of general driving, but I also think that car does not look easy to tame, and Vettel was definitely struggling. But yeah, you can't kind of legislate for that move that he tried to pull on Carlos Sainz. That was, you know, ambitious, I think, to say the least. And unfortunately, he was turned around the wrong way, because, you know, does he not make that? If he doesn't make that move, he kind of, you know, hangs around, maybe gets on the right tyre at the right time with the safety cars, and there's a podium in there for him. Yeah, potentially even a win, unbelievably, considering the problem Mercedes had with their curbs. So, yeah, it's really disappointing. I guess I've mentioned it a couple of times, but do you think that Mercedes made the call? You know, they had the big boss Ole Kalenius in attendance, who we know, you know, we don't know kind of his full intentions with regards to their Formula One program. Do you think that Mercedes did call off the fight between Bottas and Hamilton in the closing stages due to that issue they had with the curbs?
I'm not sure if they ever called it off directly, but I think it was made pretty clear that preservation was the key. And, you know, in a way, that's the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you might be right there. It's a shame, nonetheless, but I guess in the end, perhaps we didn't quite get to see how well they'd preserved their car, because we have Alex Albon coming through. Albon, obviously, on the fresher and softer tyres than the Mercedes, and he tries to pull a move on Lewis Hamilton after the safety car, and they come together for the second time in three races. Unbelievably, it's a bit like Felipe Massa and Lewis Hamilton back in 2011. They just seem to kind of have magnets in their cars. But what do you make of this incident? I won't frame the question any more kind of loaded than that. What did you make of it?
Yeah, it's already pretty loaded to begin with, isn't it? I think everyone's got an opinion on it, and these opinions are pretty varied. I mean, you just look at social media and you can say complete racing incident, you can say Lewis got off easy with the 5-second penalty. It goes all over the place. Personally, I wrote this in my article that I put up just before. I think I do lean towards it being a racing incident. I'm not 100% convinced, I'll say that. I think, you know, I'm willing to be swayed. But my position is, they're both, you know, we're in this let them race era in F1 that started late last year after Michael Massey came out and said that was sort of going to be the stewarding philosophy going forward. So if you're really letting them race, I understand that Alex managed to get more than, you know, probably about half a car's width in front coming out of the corner. But Lewis is already there. I don't expect any F1 driver, whether it's Lewis, whether it's Romain Grosjean, whether it's whoever, doesn't matter who they are, I don't expect them to concede the fight when they've already sort of given a decent amount of consideration for their opponent. There's always going to be a bit of a judgment call on both the attacker and the defender. And those are the sort of things where racing incidents occur. I don't think you can say that Lewis was doing anything malicious. There was a bit of understeer in his car. At the same time, Alex is going for a very ambitious pass that I think you can make a very good case he didn't need to make in that point. Being on the soft tyres, he could have lined up a much more easy pass in a few more corners or another lap. So Yeah, for me, it's hard to look past racing incident, but what do you think?
I don't quite kind of know what to make of it. I think that one thing that I probably would think is that I don't think there was anything malicious about this from Hamilton. And, you know, we saw him, he had kind of full steering lock on, and I think, as you said, I think he was just kind of understeering a little bit, also kind of just drifting out towards the racing line. So I don't think that he's not in any way veered into Albon there. Yeah, he is just trying to take the racing line. And there was space outside, although I do think that Hamilton was kind of moving out towards the racing line, so I think maybe that space would have closed up quite quickly. So yeah, I think that, you know, Hamilton has taken him off, and I think that perhaps he was going in with too much speed, especially knowing that the car behind him has fresher tyres, significantly fresher tyres and softer tyres than he does. So maybe Hamilton should have just given it up and kind of waited and tried to fight another day. So I think that given what happened, and given that I just generally feel a little bit sorry for Alex Albon, I don't think that a 5-second penalty is unfair, even though I think that it was very much on the borderline of racing incident, as you said. But I think after the race, Lewis was pretty kind of, yeah, he was like, yeah, I'll just take my punishment and, you know, move on. This wasn't a great weekend for him, and, you know, we'll see what happens. But yeah, I agree with you that I think Albon just needed to show a little bit more patience, because it was a little bit desperate. And I think had he just held out, used those softer tyres, he could have passed both Hamilton and Bottas and won the race. And I know Christian Horner after the race said, you know, oh, you know, we've got a huge deficit to them in the straight, so Albon needed to make it happen. I wouldn't be surprised if behind closed doors, maybe Red Bull weren't so kind of diplomatic about it, and maybe said to Albon, maybe you could have waited.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's very easy to sort of want to, or it's very tempting to want to pass blame off your own driver. It's, and in these situations, you're never ever going to see a team principal say, well, you know, to the TV cameras, well, my driver just didn't do a good enough job. And I mean, it's not that Alex didn't do a good enough job. It's just that he sort of, you know, he made what you would call a rookie mistake. And in a way, he's barely more than a rookie. So you would hope that he would sort of learn from these things. Obviously, it's not the first time it's happened, though. So maybe he needs a few more lessons. I don't know. But yeah, I think he had the chances. I don't think the power deficit on the straight was enough to warrant being that ambitious there. There were going to be chances. He would have been gaining anyway. That's just a tough place. It's just a tough place to put the car to get around, you know, a car, especially with the size of these cars these days. So yeah, for me, it's almost a case of your eyes are bigger than your stomach. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, 5 seconds penalty to Lewis, it's acceptable, if not what I would have gone with.
Yeah, I think you're probably right there. I think given the circumstances, 5 seconds isn't unfair, but I think both of them could have done more to avoid that incident. And actually, weirdly, for a race with 9 DNFs, that and the Vettel incident were the only really times that cars came together. We saw Lando putting a strong move on Sergio Perez, which was great to see, up the inside, although I think Perez was perhaps a little bit sleepy to that one. But yeah, it was a surprise. I thought we'd be seeing a bit more of cars coming together. But yeah, I think overall, I think Bottas was a worthy winner, and it's great to see kind of two young drivers taking their cars onto the podium. A look back at our predictions from last week suggests that both of us have failed, essentially. So Ben, you went for a Hamilton-Bottas-Verstappen podium. Obviously, we had no Hamilton or Verstappen on the podium, but I guess you did get Bottas on the podium, but not in the right position. And your first DNF was Kevin Magnussen, who did DNF, but he wasn't the first. I think he was the third. So Verstappen was the first DNF. I had a similar performance in that I got none of them correct. I had Verstappen coming first, Hamilton second, and Bottas third. And then I had my first DNF as Romain Grosjean, who, again, did DNF, but he wasn't the first. I think Haas, you know, quickly, you know, this was, frankly, terrible weekend for them. What did you make of them?
Yeah, to me, that's going to be a massive subplot going forward, assuming this is sort of the performance we can expect, because we know for a fact that Gene Haas has come out and said, if the performance isn't good to start the season, well, I'm probably going to pull the plug. And guess what? The performance isn't good to start the season. So, yeah, I mean, unless something drastically changes, and as far as we understand, there's no updates for the car coming until the calendar's set, which might not be for another week or two, and by then it might be too late because other teams are going to be ahead of you. It's looking like it's going to be a pretty bad season for us. And yeah, when you're having brake problems, I mean, there's much more worse things can go wrong with your car. And, you know, I don't think either Romain or Kevin were particularly good in their own right this weekend. Yeah, it's looking like it's going to be a pretty dark year for the Haas boys.
And a team that had a dark year last season, but perhaps looked to be making small steps, is Williams. Obviously, Latifi came 11th in his first ever race in Formula 1, but you know that was a heavily assisted 11th. But George Russell, he was ahead of Sebastian Vettel when he was forced to retire. I think he was ahead of three cars, aside from his teammate. Qualified 17th. Is this a case of, you know, Williams improving, or just George Russell being a, you know, really, really talented driver?
I think it's definitely, you've got to take a bit of both. I mean, we knew George Russell was good last year. We still don't know exactly how good, obviously, because he's not exactly going against the cream of the crop in where he is on the grid. But that Williams is, it's definitely picked itself up. I mean, you look at Alfa Romeo as well as Haas, there's definitely competition for worst of the lot. Williams might be above those two teams. So, yeah, I think where he was running before his unfortunate retirement, I think was entirely warranted. And I'm actually expecting more of that. I think he'll definitely be picking up points this season at some point. And it'll be interesting to see how they go.
So before we finish up, I think we'll take a very quick look at next week's race, the Styrian Grand Prix at the Red Bull Ring once again. So I think that one concern people had was that, you know, the races would be identical. But I think that even if the race played out in exactly the same way as it did this week, no one would be complaining. How do we even begin to start predicting this? I think that what we'll see is probably a stronger Lewis Hamilton. I think that he will be eager to return the favour to Valtteri Bottas after this weekend. But is there time for any of these teams to make significant improvements in just 4 days before we get back on the track?
Well, yeah, I think if we exclude the Mercedes, who are clearly a class unto themselves, and then you've got obviously Lewis and Valtteri going back and forth, I think that next pack has the potential to be very mixed up. It was very mixed up this weekend. It could be again. So I wouldn't be surprised to see on the podium, I mean, the favourite's definitely still Red Bull to get that last podium spot, but if it's another McLaren, a Racing Point, even a Ferrari, if the chips fall as they do, that wouldn't surprise me too much either. There's a lot sort of going on in that second tier, isn't there? And I think there's a very good chance that we get another sort of crazy race back there, but with a very different result as well. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how that plays out.
Yeah, I'm not expecting to suddenly see all these reliability issues go away, but I imagine it will just be on a kind of, you know, maybe the drivers who managed to finish this week won't finish next week. So we'll see a different result in that sense. I think one team that I'm looking for more from is Renault. I thought that, you know, Ocon didn't really deliver in qualifying, but, you know, first race back, he got a couple of points, 4 points, in fact. Steady race, you know, I think that's a decent performance. But Daniel Ricciardo, I think he could have done better than 10th, for sure, had he not been affected by the yellows. And, you know, I think that if he can kind of write that qualifying performance, I think that we could definitely see a good points haul from him next weekend. What do you think?
Yeah, they're not too far off that pack either, if not right amongst it. It's, you know, they were sort of, that qualifying really sort of hid to a degree, I think, the relatively decent midfield pace of that car. So if we see a 6th or a 7th, you know, if something goes crazy with the 6th on Sunday next weekend, that wouldn't surprise me at all. I think Esteban's only going to get, you know, more acclimated to back in F1 and more back to racing. That's going to help. Daniel was obviously pretty strong before, you know, he had this sort of misfortune, both in quali and the race. So yeah, I'm expecting not big things, medium things from the Renault boys.
Okay, so I think that before we finish, we'll just go through our predictions for the Styrian Grand Prix. So Ben, give me your podium.
My podium is Lewis, Valtteri, and Max is too easy. I'm not going to say Max. I'm going to say Sergio. He gets what he should have got this week. He gets his podium.
Fair enough. I think I was impressed with Racing Point all weekend. I actually thought, I think we should probably add this, that Lance Stroll did all right. He wasn't too far off Perez in qualifying, although he did that weird thing where he just did one run on his own, which is a bit strange, rather than the two runs with everyone else. But I guess, you know, given what happened with Bottas, that actually proved to be a pretty prudent strategy. So, yeah, I think he did okay. For my podium, I'm going to go for Hamilton, Bottas, Verstappen. I'm going to go for the easy, boring one, and I think the same podium as I picked last week. But we'll see. And yeah, Ben. So, secondly, give me your first DNF.
First DNF. Ooh. I mean, this is a tricky one because of this circuit. It could be anyone on the grid, couldn't it? But I'm going to go with, I think he got very lucky this week, so I think the motorsport gods are going to sort of flip the script on him this week. I'm going with Antonio Giovinazzi.
Yes, I think he did get a bit lucky. Firstly, his wheel didn't fall off like his teammates did. And also, yeah, to get a ninth place finish, you know, I don't think that he really showed much all weekend. That Alpha looks to be really struggling, and yeah, I think that that's pretty a pretty good shout, although I don't know how much I believe and trust in the F1 gods. For me, I'm going to go for his teammate Kimi Raikkonen. I think that he looked pretty average all weekend. I know he past Giovinazzi, but that appeared to be kind of a team order situation, or at least that's what they kind of suggested on the live feed. And yeah, it was a pretty poor race for him, and I kind of expect to see more of the same next week, and maybe he'll get an incident. Before we go, just a final word on the race. One driver who I kind of thought was really good, and I guess we could do this as a kind of driver of the day section. So one driver who I think would definitely be in with a shout of that is Pierre Gasly. Yeah, he had the indignity of being dropped by Red Bull midway through the season last year, and only to kind of go to Toro Rosso and now AlphaTauri and just perform incredibly consistently as well. Got his second place in Brazil, and I thought this was another brilliant performance from Pierre Gasly. So, you know, I know Norris and Leclerc were brilliant, but I think my driver of the day is going to be Pierre Gasly. Ben, who have you got for driver of the day?
Well, yeah, I mean, I do like the shout of Gasly. I mean, whatever happens in that Toro Rosso / AlphaTauri, he's just another driver the way he was at Red Bull. So hats off to him there. But I personally can't look past Lando. I mean, that was just so impressive. Exactly what I wanted to see from him in his second year, to do it in his first race, to get that opportunity and take it between his teeth and, you know, just absolutely smash that final lap out of the park. Yeah, it doesn't get much more impressive than that. So Lando's my driver of the day.
Yeah, I can't agree more about how good a performance that was from Lando. But I noticed he's getting a lot of praise, so I thought I'd chuck some Pierre Gasly's way. No, I think that moment between Norris and Zach Brown hugging, you know, that Lando kind of sprints into a hug with Zach Brown, I thought that was really sweet. And yeah, it's great to see him on the podium. He's been one of the guys who's provided more entertainment during the off season than anyone else. So yeah, I'm chuffed for him.
Yeah, I think if I could just add to that as well, I think that's a big thing with Lando, because he's faced not a ton, but a little bit of criticism that he's, you know, maybe spending a bit too much online. Maybe doesn't take it too seriously. So it's very nice to see that he can have his personality, he can live the life he wants to live, and at the same time, he can become a world-class racing driver. So I hope we see more of this Lando on track and more of the Lando we've come to love and know over the last year off track as well at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point and a weird one, because I thought that we learned with Lewis Hamilton, when everyone criticised him for not turning up to that F1 live event and, you know, being like, oh, he's too obsessed with his fashion, he's too obsessed with this and that, travelling the world, and then he turns up and wins. I think we learned that, you know, drivers can do things their own way and it doesn't necessarily mean anything. It doesn't mean they're going to perform badly. And yeah, I'm really chuffed that Lando's showing that he can do it his own way. So thank you very much, Ben, for taking the time to speak with me about what was a fascinating and thrilling opening race of the season. We'll be back next week to review the Styrian Grand Prix. So before that, in the meantime, do check out our website. That is GrandPrix247.com. We've got plenty of reaction, driver ratings, reviews, and Ben's got a little piece about kind of his thoughts on the weekend. And also go and follow us on Twitter at GrandPrix247 and like us on Facebook, GrandPrix247 once again. So thanks very much, Ben. Thank you, everyone. Thanks for listening, and we'll speak to you next week.
See ya.